Hello and welcome. And thank you, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here for another episode of The Best Hour here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. You can do a search for The Best Hour there, or you can find us on our community website, True Thought Spiritual Community, at truethought.org, truethought.org. And the lessons and the instructions and the reviews and comments are posted there on our website. And thank you so much for listening in. Today, we're going to be discussing Lesson 66, and I'm joined this morning with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you here.
Happy to be here.
All right. We're going to be discussing Lesson 66, and speaking of happiness, my happiness and my function are one.
Yes.
Before we begin, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's come together now in mind and heart. You've surely noticed an emphasis throughout our recent lessons on the connection between fulfilling your function and achieving happiness. This is because you do not really see the connection. Yet there is more than just a connection between them. They are the same. Their forms are different, but their content is completely one.
The ego does constant battle with the Holy Spirit on the fundamental question of what your function is. So does it do constant battle with the Holy Spirit about what your happiness is. It is not a two-way battle. The ego attacks and the Holy Spirit does not respond. He knows what your function is. He knows that it is your happiness.
Today, we'll try to go past this wholly meaningless battle and arrive at the truth about your function. We will not engage in ceaseless arguments about what it is. We will not become hopelessly involved in defining happiness and determining the means for achieving it. We will not indulge the ego by listening to its attacks on truth. We will merely be glad that we can find out what truth is.
Our longer practice period today has as its purpose your acceptance of the fact that not only is there a very real connection between the function God gave you and your happiness, but they are actually identical. God gives you only happiness. Therefore, the function God gave you must be happiness, even if it appears to be different. Today's exercises are an attempt to go beyond these differences in appearance and recognize a common content where it exists in truth.
Begin the 10 to 15 minute practice periods today by reviewing these thoughts. God gives me only happiness. He has given my function to me. Therefore, my function must be happiness.
Try to see the logic in the sequence, even if you do not yet accept the conclusion. It is only if the first two thoughts are wrong that the conclusion could be false. Let us then think about the premises for a while as we are practicing.
The first premise is that God gives you only happiness. This could be false, of course, but in order to be false, it's necessary to define God as something he's not. Love cannot give evil, and what is not happiness is evil. Mm. God cannot give what he does not have, and he cannot have what he is not. Unless God gives you only happiness, he must be evil. And it is this definition of him which you are believing if you do not accept the first premise.
The second premise is that God has given you your function. We have seen that there are only two parts of your mind. One is ruled by the ego and is made up of illusions. The other is the home of the Holy Spirit, where truth abides. There are no other guides but these to choose between, and no other outcomes possible as a result of your choice but the fear which the ego always engenders and the love which the Holy Spirit always offers to replace it.
Thus, it must be that your function is established by God through his voice or is made by the ego, which you've made to replace him, which is true. Unless God gave your function to you, it must be the gift of the ego. Does the ego really have gifts to give, being itself an illusion and offering only the illusions of gifts?
Think about this during the longer practice period today. Think also about the many forms which the illusion of your function has taken in your mind and the many ways in which you tried to find salvation under the ego's guidance. Did you find it? Were you happy? Did they bring you peace?
We need great honesty today. Remember the outcomes fairly and consider also whether it was ever reasonable to expect happiness from anything the ego ever proposed. Yet the ego is the only alternative to the Holy Spirit's voice. You'll listen to madness or hear the truth. Try to make this choice as you think about the premises on which our conclusion rests. We can share in this conclusion, but in no other, for God Himself shares in it with us.
Today's idea is another giant stride in the perception of the same as the same and the different as the different. On one side stand all illusion, all truth stands on the other. Let us try today to realize that only the truth is true.
In the shorter practice periods today, which would be most helpful today if undertaken twice an hour, this form of the application is suggested. My happiness and function are one because God has given me both.
It will not take more than a minute, and probably less, to repeat these words slowly and think about them a little while you say them.
My happiness and my function are one, and so it is. Again, let's join together for a brief moment of silence before we have a little discussion and consider this very important lesson. We need great honesty today. Self-honesty. And self-honesty is a huge step for the evolving consciousness. Because in being self-honest, we have made a commitment to courage. We have made a statement of willingness to know ourselves, to examine ourselves, to examine our mind, to examine our thoughts. This lesson is telling us quite clearly, there's only two choices, love or a cry for love, a split mind, a mind that we've created out of nothing, which is totally illusory. Just like the dreams that we have at night, that self, that small sliver of self, I like to call the sleeping self, is not very smart. You know, it looks at things and creates dramas. And I was sharing with, this morning we were talking, I was saying I had a dream last night that I was trying to put an airplane together so I could fly an airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, never got off the ground. So nobody got hurt. But when I woke up, I laughed at all of the phases that I went through to get to that place where I was on some road somewhere in some construction zone. And suddenly I constructed an idea with the content that I was going to put an airplane together and take off in a field, mm-hmm. To escape my dilemma. Mm-hmm. You know, it was bizarre. None of it was real. None of it was real. And the ego mind, this is an aspect of that ego mind, the sleeping self, which is symbolic of the ego mind being an aspect of our true self. Certainly not all of it, certainly not very smart, and even less functional, and certainly not aware of where I truly am, safe at home in bed all night, mm-hmm. sleeping. Mm-hmm. So these are all, symbols of symbols, just like the words we're using today in our discussion. But the point is, it takes courage to look at our thoughts. But we're using reason. I love how Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is using reason and telling us, that the Holy Spirit is the voice for God, capital mm-hmm. V voice for God. But it's nothing more than our right mind, our true self, and also that this premise is so clear that if we believe in illusions, we're going to experience illusions, and that we must give way to the temptation to be constantly in those thoughts, like the lesson we were talking about yesterday. God's always keeping the main thing. Mm-hmm. there's no distraction in God. There's only distraction in us because we've created this little toy, this little temporary, teaching device that the Holy Spirit's using as a teaching device, which is we used it to keep ourselves distracted from the calamity that we thought we created, which was that we could actually separate ourselves from God. None of it's true. The illusion's not true. But I love the clarity with which he makes these premises. And the first one is, of course, that God gives you only happiness. This could be false, but I don't think that one is not hard for us to accept, that God gives us only happiness if we don't blame God for the experiences we have here. And once we start taking responsibilities for the experiences we're having in this third dimensional experience of form, we let God off the hook. We begin to realize we're the ones who are responsible for any unhappiness that we perceive. And that God is perfect. He's not untrue to what he is, as he is, as love. So unless God gives you only happiness, he must be evil. You know, and we make God up in our own image. He can't appear to be someone that would be difficult to trust or maybe even evil, something that's giving a gift of something less than happiness, you know, punishment and those kinds of things that have been projected onto the teachings that Jesus shared and certainly projected onto the other teachings that have come through over the millenniums. But this is very clear, and its reasoning is crystal clear and perfect. You can't escape its truth. God is good. God is love. And everything else that would be different or opposing to that is clearly illusory. Hmm.
I think a lot of people actually would fall into an understandably slow based upon our conditioning that, you know, that God gives something other than happiness, because, you know, the question, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God do this to me? You know, when life isn't as we imagined it to be, or we experience disappointment in life. So I do think that this is something really important to strengthen as the first premise, that God gives only happiness. And I always teach it as, you know, I remember testing my human parents and asking them, well, what if I would do this? What if I would do that? And I picked things that I knew might be challenging for them to accept about me or for my life. And I remember them always saying, but honey, we just want you to be happy. And my parents and their humanness appeared to be really imperfect and not always, you know, the ideal parent, although to me they ultimately were. But at the same time, how so much greater is the divine parent that only wants unconditionally and truly our happiness? Not only that, but knows what it is for us and can guide us to that. That gives us a function, a purpose that is the same as our happiness. How beautiful and loving is that? I mean, it's truly loving. So how grateful I am this day to know that my function and my happiness are the same. I always remember, oh my God, what if God's will for me is to be an accountant? And I used to be terrified of surrendering to God's will, because what if it was something that I just didn't like? And if you know me, I mean, I don't really like accounting. It's just not my thing. It's just not my bag. And I'm not good at it. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about our function beyond the doings of the world. Is to be, to allow our Creator to guide us to the happiness that is already our nature, already our birthright, already our aboriginal nature, and all the acumens and the doings of the world will align with that just perfectly. So I really love the idea of the simplicity of I don't need to go looking for my happiness or my function. They're the same. And I kind of came into it with it. It was something that is an aspect of me that could never be touched, never harmed, never taken away, and truly not forgotten. But thank goodness in my amnesia that there is the Holy Spirit that can hold this in trust for me and this guidance system that is reminding me of how simple it is. So today, when I want to complicate it, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, or I want to feel anxiety about something other than what is happening right now, I can use this lesson and remind myself that my function and my happiness are one because God has given both to me. And what God gives is given fully. It is never, ever, cannot be taken. It is given completely, fully, eternally. So this is our inheritance. I also really love that in this lesson, not only the reason that Brother T mentioned, but I also love very clearly, it is stated that the ego is illusion. We want to claim the ego as our identity, do we not? And this is clearly saying the ego is not who you are. It is an illusion. And so I really try to remind myself that it is something that I created, that I made, is an illusion. And it isn't something to fight against. But as is said in the early paragraphs, the Holy Spirit does not argue with the ego. The ego's arguing and doing battle and attack. The Holy Spirit, the truth needs no defense, and the Holy Spirit just stands in truth, abides in truth, which requires no defense whatsoever, and is at peace therein. And that is what we can do. That is what we are called to do because we are the Holy Spirit. Our right mind is the Holy Spirit. And so we don't need to argue. We don't need to attack. We don't need to do battle with the ego. Beloved T would say we ignore it. He would go as far to say, tell it to shut up and turn the other cheek and stand in truth this day. And we do this to ourselves. We are choosing a unified system of thought here, and it leads to us being very clear on what where our happiness is, that it's already given, that it's already here, that we need do nothing, that we just simply allow it to be. And we allow it to be by giving it our full attention and appreciation moment by moment. My happiness and my function are indeed one.
And so it is. Well said. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mighty Companion.
Scott.
Yeah. Thank you, Mighty Companion, for being with us today on this amazing journey of self-realization. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in.